In this episode, we're going to talk to none other than Lori Frederick, the Movement Ninja. We're going to talk about kinesiology tape. I can't believe I got that right on the first try. Yeah, we're going to talk about that technology, what we can and should not do with it, and why it's not been as pervasive as we would hope in the general industry setting when it comes to preventing injuries or even just using it as a reminder to have better posture, all those good things. So Lori is going to break it all down for us. You're going to be a pro after you hear what she has to say about this. So let's get into it.
Hey, this is Jason Lucas, sole doctor of the Safety Justice League podcast, and I want to introduce this episode of Blaine Hoffman's Safety Pro podcast. So grab your notepad, grab your pen, and listen in to greatness.
Wow, Jason, what an incredible intro that was. Jason from the Safety Justice League podcast, one of the three you're going to hear on that podcast. Be sure to go check them out. And hey, all of you, if you're listening to this, yeah, you too can intro the podcast here. And all you got to do is record your intro in your own words. Try to keep it PG. You could be funny. You could be serious. You could tell everybody who you are and what you do and where you're from. We just ask that if you're a service provider, you don't just do a hard sell. Just make sure that you're cool about it. That's all. We want to expose other safety pros to each other and what everybody has to offer. Send your clean audio file to info@thesafetyprobpodcast.com and you might end up introing the next episode. Before we get into our interview with Lori Frederick, I want to take a moment and talk to you about MightyLine floor tape. Look, we're all going to have facility marking needs. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, right? Especially coming out of COVID, you know, if you're reopening or if you've stayed open, you know, the need to mark our facilities was even more important. Coming out of the pandemic, which, you know, I'm hopeful going into mid-2021, into the end of 2021, we're going to hit a normal rhythm at some point, you know, fingers crossed, but you're still going to need to 5S your facilities. You're still going to need to, you know, freshen up those floor markings. MightyLine tape has you covered. Floor signs, floor tape, even directional and instructional signs and labels, they've got everything you're going to need. If you head over to mightylinetape.com/podcast, you can order a free sample of the floor tape just for being a podcast listener. Again, go to mightylinetape.com/podcast. Let them know that we sent you.
Welcome back to the Safety Pro podcast. The link I sent you, it says the ninja returns, right?
So, I like it.
But because I'm like, what do I call this? Because, you know, we're going to talk about a couple of things. The first time we talked on the podcast, you talked about stretching versus warm-ups, that whole mobility program in general. And out of that, we talked or touched on, or I may have brought it up because I sidetrack people, about injury prevention and just managing pain and things like that. So we thought for our second time around, we would focus on that, right?
Yes, most definitely.
All right. For our listeners that are on audio only, if you're listening to the podcast, we are recording a video to go along with this episode as well, because Lori, I have a feeling, is going to demonstrate some techniques and some tools that we can use. She's voguing right now. That's awesome. So, be sure to check out the Safety Pro Podcast community site for access to the video for this episode. But Lori, what are we going to get into today? Now, hold on. I've got a big word I'm going to drop. Kinesiology tape.
Good job.
Kinesiology is a big word. And did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. What is kinesiology tape? What is your relationship with that tape and how you use it in your practice? And let's get into all that stuff.
Super. Awesome. It's a hot topic right now. Kinesiology tape is elastic therapeutic tape. So it stretches and moves with you. It is about 97% cotton, a little bit of nylon. So that's what helps it. It's breathable. And it's what you see on a lot of athletes. nowadays. So it's common in those arenas, but not as common in the industrial athlete arena, or really with just general public people. I think a lot of folks just think, oh, well, I have to be an athlete to get that or put it on. And no, you don't. So my relationship with it, it's complicated. No.
Like all relationships are, right?
Like all relationships, right? I initially saw tape on people. And I think my mom was one that first, she's like, look what my PT did. And she had tape on her knee. She's like, it's supposed to hold my kneecap in place. And I just was like, what? That's, how does that work? That doesn't even work. To which now it doesn't, it doesn't hold anything in place. So, I'm a skeptic and I always question things anyway. So like, what is this, what's going on? And then I ended up bumping into, and I lived around the medical director for Rock Tape, which is a brand of kinesiology tape, and, had great conversations with him. And he's like, you should take one of our classes. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take a class. Oh my gosh, the education, the science behind it. I mean, you can dig deep into some rabbit holes on the science behind it. What's really cool is that there's not much science in how you put it on anymore. It used to be really technical. So a lot of PTs have taken different KT taping, kinesio taping classes that are very specific. Like you need to put it on origin to insertion with 70% stretch and like all these specifics. Wow. That, yeah. So originally, so here we are in the industrial world and OSHA, before 2015, that's why it was considered a medical treatment. Kinesiology tape was considered a medical treatment. And then it switched because just all the science that says it doesn't matter how you put it on, it's not that complicated. It's non-rigid. It's a lot like a Band-Aid. All these cool things that then switched it over that it's a first aid tool. So that's where my relationship with it got deeper and educating people that, hey, this is first aid tool in OSHA. No one's using it as much as they should. That's when I hopped on the huge bandwagon and used it on myself. And I was like, okay, it's not... A lot of people call it like sham taping, and it's like,
they don't believe it. It's more placebo effect, or I don't know. Was that right?
Yes. To which I love that Rock Tape, you know, they're all about education. They will admit sometimes it's just placebo. I mean, there's healthy teenage volleyball girls that love to just put it on. Yes, it's doing some work, but then there's also like, oh, if it's in school colors and it matches their outfit.
Yeah. Now I look like an athlete. So.
Exactly. So there is some placebo to it.
Mm-hmm. So before we get too much further into this, down this rabbit hole, right? Let's little bit about your background, like in case the listeners, this is their first introduction to you on this podcast. Let's back up. How did you say you saw your mom wearing it? It's not like you were, you know, working at the grocery store, which is perfectly fine, by the way, for anybody working at a grocery store, and you saw your mom with tape on it, and then boom, you just started, you took one of this rock tape class. What, explain your background and why this piqued your interest.
I kind of jumped into that, didn't I? Yeah.
No, yeah. That's fine.
No, I love it. You wrap it around well. My background is in strength and conditioning and sports massage therapy. So, and I already was I had my own business for injury prevention and doing sports massage and conditioning for people. So, and my education is in exercise science and physiology and kinesiology. So that's what piques the interest, and that I'm hands-on with a lot of things. I do believe that manual therapy, massage therapy is one of the greatest tools to have in one's toolbox. So then seeing tape, I'm like, it can't be that easy. Like, come on, you gotta have some things. So that's where my background and eyes come from on it. And yeah, and then bringing it into the industrial world.
I like how you said you're skeptical by nature. And I've said that too. about myself. I think I think skeptical, it has a negative connotation. I think yes. Curious is a much better descriptor, because although I will self-critically say I'm skeptical of all sorts of stuff, I'm like, I want to see evidence, data, proof, yes. or just show me, right? I just don't take things at face value. But so that's great that you kind of followed that curiosity and learn this. Now, fast forward to now, what is your relationship to, well, in this case, Rock Tape. It's specifically the brand, right?
Yes. So Rock Tape brand, our relationship came along because of talking to the medical director and letting him understand how Rock Tape can work in work settings, occupational settings on the prevention end. It fits in this little loophole. And that just turned into a great conversation. He's like, well, maybe you should put together some classes and we can, because they've already have a wide range of education for taping and flossing and movement. And I mean, all sorts of things, but we brainstorm together that there needs to be an industry class for safety professionals or anyone that's working on site or things like that, because a lot of people just need to know the ins and outs of how to, navigate OSHA, but also just the workers themselves need to know. So they brought me on as an instructor. And so I teach the industrial end of the education component for taping. And so I get paid to teach from them. And I've always been one, I've been approached many times, lots of different things. They're like, hey, why don't you sell our product or become an affiliate here or all those sorts of things. I don't do that because even if I really love the product, I just, me personally, thinks it's not as genuine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. As a podcaster, I'm with you. I would rather get paid for the number of times somebody asks me to be an affiliate. Because you're right. It's like it changes the conversation and your credibility is immediately called into question. I don't care who you are. The minute you say, I'm getting paid for every one of these units I move, it's like, well, then that's your motivation. That's the only reason why you're talking to me about this, is because you get paid for if I buy one of these. And I've had sponsors that want to partner on the podcast. And I'm like, well, if it makes sense for my audience and this is a product or service that they could benefit from and you want to support the podcast and you're operating in this space, we could connect. Let's have a conversation. And they're like, well, what if we set up an affiliate link? I'm like, nope. And it's like, because then I've got to sell your product.
Right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Right. And there's even, as much as I love it, I think we even had, what's cool is that Rock Tape is actually owned by a bigger umbrella company, Implus, mm-hmm. now. And Implus also owns cool lines like Skills, which is a whole lot of athletic training equipment, Trigger Point Therapy that has awesome rollers and vibration rollers. Oh my gosh, I could go into those. Anyway, so I'm like, sweet, they're like, here's how you set up your affiliate link. One, I just couldn't figure it out. Two, I don't want to. The discount's great for me. I love that. Thanks so much. But yeah, so that's where it's complicated, but not so complicated because now I'm just trying to save the world from injury and pain. And taping has a lot to do with that.
I like to tell people too, like when I had a recent interview and I talk about, there's no affiliation. This is just, it's not a product review there. It's nothing like that. So our conversation's the same. It's like, we're just two professionals. This tape is very, like you said, it's become more commonplace. And I think it's important that we understand what it is, what it is not. Like you talked, like it won't hold something in place. So we'll get into all that good stuff. And that's what I think we're going to get out of this episode, is we're going to get hopefully a better understanding of this technology, this device, and clear up some myths and misconceptions about it. So let's start at the beginning. Why and when would somebody have the need to use this?
Why and when? anytime you have aches and pains.
Okay.
Really, you want to use it. Some people think that it's for pain relief, it's for reduction in swelling, and it's for movement awareness. So those are the big three that the tape helps with. So pain relief is one, even if, I mean, you know, now since I'm, since I know what tape can do, my family's always, I'm just like, oh, tape it. You know, they're like, Mom, stop with the tape. but really, even if there's like, you know, my kid bumps his shin on something and it's got the, you know, goose egg over it already, slap a little tape on that and it totally helps with the inflammation and the pain.
Is it because then, it has a compressive component?
No.
And how does that work?
So here's the, this is good segue. So it's actually a decompressive component because of the stretch in the tape creates a little bit of lift in the skin. So that little bit of lift that you get in the skin helps all everything within and under flow better. Okay. So, and that's where the inflammation reduction happens. So what I love to express is everyone forgets, I think, that the swelling is in your lymphatic system. The lymphatic system doesn't have something like the heart to pump everything around. So the lymphatic system needs movement to deliver and send everything along. And your edema, your inflammation, and your inflammation response in your body is actually healthy. Your body delivers everything that it needs to the area to help fix it. So here's a third podcast idea. This is where ice and heat conversations get a little interesting.
When to use and not to use either one, right?
Yes. Okay. So where ice is great for numbing pain, it actually will restrict and constrict everything under the skin. So it just stops everything. The tape helps assist that process. And then if we're going to go in from the swelling relief to pain relief, the pain relief happens because of the touch on the skin. So it's this conversation of the tape through the skin to the brain. And the best way to describe this is that sensation. If you whack your shin or your arm on something, your elbow, right? After you're done swearing, you usually grab it and touch it.
Yeah. Every soccer player I've ever seen rolls around on the ground and grabs their shin. So there must be something to this, right?
There must be, besides the drama, right?
Yes.
It started out as that's actually what you do.
Yeah.
So you have to repeat that process. No, so that touch of you touching your skin and the neural receptors that are in the skin, take that. And it actually travels faster to the brain than the pain does. So it doesn't cut off the pain. It just buffers it. It reduces it enough to where you, it's distracted by that physical touch sensation rather than the pain. So the tape is the touch on the skin. And then it stays on the skin for like 3 to 5 days. And so you have that consistent signal that's mixing up the pain signal. Wow. That's the science behind the pain.
So this is a more natural way rather than artificially suppressing the swelling or the, like through meds or anti-inflammatory non-steroidals, right? Or this is a more natural way of interacting with your body and almost allowing it to do what it's meant to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Which we love because, you know, pain meds are super overprescribed and we're really trying to help that process. So if we can say, hey, can you just try a little bit of tape first, along with, you know, maybe they also need some over the counter pain relief, but try this first and then see how it works. And what's funny is I think I just got a comment on one of my posts the other day that they were like, oh, it's just human duct tape. I'm like, kind of, because duct tape, technically, they've done studies, like you get the touch on the skin. So you kind of get that same response. However, duct tape doesn't move very well or breathe very well.
Which is why it's used in a lot of crimes.
Exactly.
That's terrible reference, but you're right.
Well, it holds things in place. It's rigid. And so the kinesiology tape is not rigid because it has the elastic fibers in it. It breathes well. So it's a lot like fabric. And I guess, you know, people listening aren't going to see this, but I do have examples here and samples that I will show for the video folks. So if you're not on it, you'll have to figure it out. And I'm not sure if you can see, you can see the texture, but you can't really see through it. Yep. And so that's just a pattern, but it's stretchy in two-way stretch. It's not a four-way stretch at the moment. So that's how it moves well with you. And then it just really feels like fabric because it's mostly cotton. And that's why you can get it wet. It stays on through showers. I always encourage showering. That's a healthy thing to do.
In general,
especially
right?
Especially in general, for my teenage son when he has it on, you know, yes, we shower.
That's great. Have it on. So we know, so that's the when, part of when and why. What are for like pain and swelling you mentioned? Mm-hmm. How else can this tape be beneficial? That's in reaction or response to something. Does it have any preventative applications?
Most definitely. Okay. And that's the, I'll call it awareness tape. Mm-hmm. So you can, especially on the low back, it's money. I use it on myself, on any appointments that I have, workers that I run into that are just, you know, they're like, I'm stiff. I'm like, hey, if you put some tape on your back and you put two of the thin strips on either side of your spine that are parallel with your spine, if you bend forward, you're going to feel the stretch of the tape. So if you're rounding a lot, you're going to feel the tape more. So we say, oh, like when I have it on, I feel the tape. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to move. You know, I'm supposed to move more.
So it's going to remind you about posture.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's like reminder tape, awareness tape, all those sorts of cool little analogies. So if someone's working and digging, then they hopefully will feel the tape and then be like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to have good posture while doing this. And that's where a lot of prevention comes in, is just better awareness of, oh yeah, I've got this on because I got a little grumpy part because I should watch my posture better. So
I think you said that in your video, grumpy back, right?
Yes. Grumpy. Grumpy. You know, I've learned to use all the great words that are not pain and injury in OSHA worlds. So, and also words matter. Words matter so much when I'm talking to a worker and they're really worried if they're, you know, hurt bad or not. I'm like, it's a little grumpy. You know, it's not like, strained or sprained or, you know, any of those things. You're sore. It's grumpy. It happens a lot. There's not just like 0 to 100 with your muscles. Mm-hmm. There's some in between, and that we can back it off when we need to.
And us, you know, non medically trained or, you know, that are in the profession that you're in, but just safety professionals, we use these two terms. We use the difference between an injury and soreness. Like, there's a difference between being sore and being injured. We may not know what it is or be able to diagnose it because we're not qualified, but like we try to distinguish between those two, because how we deal with that in the workplace from a risk management standpoint is completely different. So I love that you're able to just avoid the language issue altogether and just and say what it is. I can imagine if you were like, yeah, you probably sprained your back or strained your back. That's probably going to be like, whoa, I should go to the doctor, right? You know? And so,
yes.
And not that we're not discouraging people from seeking medical treatment if they feel it's necessary, but you're right. Words matter.
Definitely. And, you know, Google Doc, Dr. Google,
Dr. Google
is not the greatest place to go at first. I mean, because all of a sudden you're going to see these like images of, you know, what the worst case scenarios are. And I always try to tell people, like, don't go to Dr. Google first, please. Yeah. You know, send me a text, do something. because yeah, once your brain kind of goes in like, oh, I'm injured mode, it's hard to reel that back in.
Yeah.
I do have a video conversation that I do have a lot is hurt versus injured. Mm-hmm. And especially if someone's an athlete or was an athlete, they understand that conversation of, okay, well, if I'm hurt, it's bothered, it's aggravated, but like I can still do things. I can, you know, I still want to go in and play. I still want to do that. I just have to be more aware. Injured means that you're done. It's stopped you. And it's not good to go any further. If it doesn't get any better, there's things like that. So like a good example, a concrete finisher that I was working with, who they have such repetitive motion, had some elbow grumpiness. And we were working massage therapy, taping, all those certain things. And, you know, he would feel better when I'd work with him, and then he'd go back to work. Right. And so it would re-aggravate, but it was kind of like two steps forward, one step back, and it would keep progressing in the right direction. So that's, you know, more of the hurt soreness, not injured, because we're making progress. So that's how I always like to have those sorts of conversations.
Excellent. So you mentioned that there was a switch from, you know, this being medical treatment, the application of this tape, and to now it is first aid, because you don't need any special training, certification, or licenses, you know, like we would with surgical glue, right? With, you know, you can go buy this stuff, super glue for your skin at the store, but for some reason it's still considered medical treatment under the, you know, the record keeping standard. So what facilitated that change, if you recall, or if you know, and how can this be adopted into the workplace as a general preventative tool or like awareness tool?
I think what changed it is just all the science that was coming out, that there it doesn't matter the angle you put it on or how much stretch you have to it. Also the fact that there's such low risk to it. The biggest risk is in irritated skin. So, I mean, you know, so the thinking that if you're holding your kneecap in place and then, okay, well, maybe I put it on wrong, it's going to dislocate the kneecap. No, none of that ever happens. So the risk is skin stuff. So sometimes people with irritated skin or sorry, sensitive skin, it gets a little red and itchy. What's cool, I know Rock Tape has it. I think a couple other brands have different levels of adhesive.
Oh, wow.
To deal with skin sensitivity. Rock Tape has level 1, 2, and 3. 1 is for sensitive skin. 2 is just standard. 3 is for people who are really sweaty or working in humid environments or going in the water. So it has that extra stick to it. The other thing that's kind of coached in application is just not stretch the ends of the tape. And you'll see in a lot of my videos, it's always like, just put it on. Don't stretch the ends of the tape. There's just sometimes that torque, which you can get with a Band-Aid also.
Yeah.
If you stick a Band-Aid on the one side, pull it, and then put it over on the other, that tension is going to create a tension blister underneath the skin. And that's not comfortable and that's not fun.
Yeah. So, and then if you have a, I don't know how I would describe this. If you have a low quality, you know, Band-Aid, not Band-Aid brand, but look at it, that tension, it could pop off.
Right.
Sometimes, yeah, it won't hold. And so your Band-Aids fall off, people get frustrated. And so that's good. That's good stuff. So do you have any tips for certain types of jobs? You mentioned the back. And this is my big one. I mean, over 80% of Americans will suffer some back problems in their life. I
heard, right? 90. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there. So what could somebody like me, somebody like me do to prevent back soreness? You mentioned these thin strips on either side of the spine, but what about the low back? You know, are there certain areas that make better sense?
Well, I think what's important to remember about kinesiology tape is that it's a Band-Aid in the effect that it's treating the symptom. of the moment. I mean, yes, we can do prevention and kind of do movement awareness, but it is still only treating the symptoms. And there's deeper meaning to why you're stiff and sore in your low back. And everybody is different. So there's generalizations, okay? Usually, if someone's got low back stiffness and soreness, it's most often a muscle imbalance or lack of movement issue. So movement is one of the best things for low back pain. Movement is medicine for lots of things, but for low back especially. So education for me is a huge importance, because I want people to understand a little bit of anatomy just in the low back, that there's lots of muscles that connect to the spine, connect to the pelvis, and it's kind of the base of support, especially when you're sitting. But there's this big patch of fascia, which is that stuff, the connective tissue that kind of holds us all together, the clear stuff around meat if you're barbecuing. But the low back fascia is in the shape of kind of a diamond with the points up and down. And I call it flypaper fascia sometimes, because it just tends to stick things together. And kind of back to the barbecue reference, it's like silver skin on a tenderloin. It's really thick. So it's super common that it doesn't get enough circulation or movement. Whether or not people have imbalances in like leg strength or flexibility, I find a lot of times that we just aren't moving our spine the way it should. And the spine's meant to bend and twist, like side bend and twist. It's meant to, it's built to. It's just not meant to do that with crappy posture and a heavy load for repetitive
motion. Right. And yeah, it's when you combine all of those, right? That's when you have problems.
Exactly. And so I think it's a fun little conversation I get into sometimes, and everyone's like, well, you shouldn't, you know, don't hold a load and then twist. I'm like, well, if you get people that are inside these little contained spaces that still need to do work and they've got to twist and get to where they need to go, it's really good for your body to have been there before and not surprise your muscles. So
no muscle surprises.
Yeah. Muscles don't like to be surprised. That's my other new thing that I think needs a t-shirt, because if your muscles have been there, done that, they're not going to like recoil and say, screw you.
Well, we say muscle memory, right? We say, you know, you've got to familiarize them with that movement. And that way, when you go back to it, they remember it. Right? It's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. With me, I can definitely say that my age has, I turned 50 last year at the time of this recording. So yeah, I'm in my 50s officially now. And so I have definitely, and I know my body really well. I run a lot. I exercise. I'm very active, hiking and all that good stuff, bike riding. I mean, to say I'm as mobile or as agile as I was when I was in my 20s would be lying. But no, that awareness though, like, I should be doing something with that. And you're probably going to scold me. What can somebody like that do, right, to prepare for manual labor? Like, I've got to do a lot of shoveling material or doing stuff like that. What can somebody...
Right, you had a backyard project. Hold on. You had a backyard project. Or currently still?
I do. We're digging, leveling out for a pool. Yes, still. Well, we've had so much rain. It's like insane. I can work for 2 days. I'm off for 3 days. And, you know, it's reminding me of my days in the construction industry where projects would just, the weather is nuts in the spring here in the Midwest. But yeah. So what can somebody like me, like, you know, equating that to the workplace, you know, what can we do with combination of training, awareness, and this tape that could help?
I think what I'd like to say is move a little every day, like intentionally move. We're all aging. We're all at just different spots in the aging process. We're all going in the same direction. So, you know, hydration is a big deal on it. Movement, but movement creates circulation, which is then hydration. So kind of then the tape helps with circulation. just kind of makes things more efficient. Not saying that everyone like, oh, well, I've got to wear tape every day, so I'm preventing this problem. No, but movement for work prep means that you're circulating all your joints and your moving parts. Exactly with the car and why we put oil in our engines is that everything needs lubrication. Unfortunately, as we age, the body gets a little less efficient at that circulation and lubrication. And that's why we need to move a little bit more before we do the physical work, just to increase that body temperature, the circulation, go put your body in positions that you're probably going to be in anyway. It's having a conversation with your body to say, hey, look, here's what we're going to be doing. Don't screw it up. Don't be a superhero.
My conversation's usually a lot of why did you do this to me? But
right, we want to have the conversation first. We don't want to have it right at the end. Right? This is
so safety. We talked about a lot of this in our previous episode, and so obviously listeners can go back and listen to that one. But taking what we talked about there and coupling it with what we're talking about today, which is this tape and just, you know, increasing awareness, seems like it's a good combination.
Definitely. And I think the main goal also is just catch things early. Pay attention when it's small. I don't want people being a hypochondriac. I don't want you know, everyone's like, I don't want to be a whiner. I don't want to complain. You know, I don't want to be that person that's always like, oh, I hurt again. But hey, there's these little, you know, the fact that you can be like, oh, that's kind of grumpy, that's kind of sore, I'm going to throw some tape on it and let's see how it, you know, feels better. I know if I've, you know, my low back tape is where I put tape on a lot. And because if I get really into building my website and too much computer stuff, my thumb is another one where I'll stick the tape on. But so like recognizing things early, the tape works best when everything is caught early. I mean, it still works throughout the process, but boy, you get some really great, I can't tell you how many sessions I've had or, you know, people have had where it's just one, two tape application sessions and then we, you know, don't see them again. So thus the reason why, you know, don't just grit and bear through what you're feeling. Take a moment. Maybe it's like, oh, I need to move in the opposite direction. I've been bent over digging this dirt all day. Take a second and then be like, well, it's not really going away. Let me try some tape. And then hopefully next day, like, oh, I do feel better. I'm ready to go.
Good stuff. So so do you see this being used more since you learned more about the science behind it and did the training and started doing training. And now I guess I would say repping the industrial workplace or the general workplace versus athletes and athletic trainers and so on. Do you see it being used more in general workplaces now? Not just with what you're doing, but like just seeing it out and about?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm biased because obviously, like on social media, the people I follow are like-minded people. And, you know, there are other colleagues that I'm connected with that do in-house, on-site, early intervention things. So I'm kind of seeing it in there. So I would say that I see it more, but my perspective is a little bit skewed.
Okay.
And biased on that one. So I think it would be interesting to ask, I mean, just marketing wise, people in general are seeing it more on TV and things. You know, they see it on the athletes. I think there's still a huge learning curve to which, I guess my viral video that my first viral video. Woo,
oh yeah. On TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was, regarding taping of the feet. And there's so many, like 5 million views and all these comments, and a whole lot of it was, why would you do that? I don't understand. And granted, you have 60 seconds to do your communication. And this was like the third video in a series of me talking about how it's good for pain relief and swelling and foot awareness for when I'm walking on hard surfaces a lot. But then I title it like rock tape flip flops. And I didn't mention the pain relief or whatever. And then, so, you know, okay, partially my fault, but.
We're all learning that social media channel, trust me.
Well, you know, that's what helped it make it go viral.
It did.
You know, you got to appreciate both.
Yeah.
But the fact that people are still, what is that and why are you doing it? Was a majority of explanation. So I thought it was a great exposure for tape to help people understand what it is, how it works, and how they can use it also and turn it into flip-flops if you want.
Aha, there you go. Flip-flop. I remember that one. I saw that one. So what can a safety professional like myself, the uninitiated, if you will, into this, mm-hmm. the people that would be asking the question, what the heck is this? What can we do or where can we go? Are there resources? I know you have a lot on your social media channels, but where would you recommend, in Lori's opinion, a safety professional go to learn more about the practical application of this tape, do's and don'ts? Are there any myths you want to bust about it? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to say that Rock Tape has their own YouTube channel. I've got a YouTube playlist just on Rock Tape.
Okay.
And their products. Rocktape.com has the ability to sign up for their industry course. So I would go to those places first. As a safety professional, there's some comfort level needed. Usually this, if you're a safety pro that's been like an EMT before, or is, you know, the one they go to put on the ACE bandage, or, you know, those things, you're usually comfortable enough to be like, hey, let's try some tape. Let's put this on. Some aren't comfortable with that. And so it's a matter of getting a conversation started. I guess I'm going to scroll around here, but because you mentioned one of the myths, but a lot of people ask me all the time, they're like, is there anything in the tape? Is there some sort of analgesic in it? Is there like CBD in it? I'm like, no.
Like the other brand that the famous basketball player.
Oh, the.
That always. Is it Icy Hot?
Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I can't. Yes. So there's all those patches. I mean, Icy Hot's a patch.
Yes. So there's something in that.
So those have something in it. So kinesiology tape doesn't have anything in it or on it. What's cool is that you can use things like Deep Blue and all those topical analgesics over the top of it. And it helps it last longer. But there's nothing in the tape. So that is one of the myths that people think that something's in the tape. No, it's just the touch, the physical touch of the tape that's working. So I guess just for the safety pros is start getting more education about it. And I'm just one of the few that speak to it, to industry and safety pros. A lot of times, it still just gets held in the medical world and everyone's like, well, you know, I'm trained. I know how to do it, to put it on. I really want to help understand that you can go buy it at the CVS or the store. And even just like one strip, you can throw it on kind of the general area where it's bothering you, like a Band-Aid. No open wounds. Don't do it over an open wound.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
You know, stick to it. Honestly, though, squirreling again, I've used it as a Band-Aid. I put a little, you know, little gauze pad over where there might be an abrasion, and then I stick it on because it sticks better than a Band-Aid. So especially on feet, feet is the best thing.
Well, you mentioned the shin or something, like if you got a whack in the shin and how this tape could, there could be an associated abrasion with that strike on the shin. So, you know,
definitely
good tip.
So, yeah, and the education on that is either you can put a little gauze over it or you can do an arts and crafts little cutout thing. Oh. And you just cut the hole or tape around it, put one on each side of it, and it works fine. The other question I get a lot for men is that if I'm really hairy, how's that going to feel, right? To where I tell them, definitely if we put it over the top and it's like on hair and it's still moving, that's too much hair, it's not going to do its job. It needs to get to, but I don't want you to shave the area, because actually just trimming it creates the short enough hair follicle, and that creates a better conversation even with all those neurotransmitters and things and the neuroreceptors in the skin.
Because it's picking up touch. Your follicles yes. are picking
yes.
up touch.
Yes. And you can think of, you know, that feeling when your hair raises up. There's huge amounts of sensation involved in that.
Yeah.
So, but trimming the area is definitely a win, because then people don't hate me when they're trying to take it off.
There you go. Yeah, I can imagine.
Because there could be that waxing effect, which we don't want. And removal is also a conversation that needs to be happened of don't grip it and rip it. It's
really
correct. Yes. You don't want to.
So it's not like taking off a Band-Aid where you just got to rip it off.
Correct. And, you know, so that's always a good conversation. So people are like, you know, I just need to get it off. I'm like, in the shower, sometimes with soap, but really keep it along the skin. So like parallel, I almost tell people to almost like you're wiping it off rather than yanking it off, which tends to feel better. It won't aggravate the skin. You'll be more likely to put it on again.
Yeah.
All that good sort stuff. Of
awesome. So I think I know I got a lot out of this. I know with this tape, I've seen it used a lot. And so I was curious. And so I'm glad that we were able to connect and talk about this. What else would you add, you know, to this conversation about this tape, and, you know, that would our listeners and viewers would probably want to know or get out of this?
I guess just reiterate the fact that it's for reducing pain, reducing inflammation, and it helps with awareness of someone's movement. Just kind of reiterate. And if you have any, even if you have a worker with a rolled ankle and it's pretty bad and it's bruised, and it might escalate, but if you can get tape on that quicker, it's really going to help their pain relief and their healing process. You also get this little bonus, hey, my employer kind of cares about me, because they're really wanting to, you know, do whatever they can in the moment, not just be like, well, get to urgent care, you know, go check in. Like, hey, try some tape on it. Maybe they take it off if they're doing an x-ray in the clinic, you know, whatever. I'd say just start trying it and testing it out. And that's where I can help get people where to buy the bulk rolls. I guess here's the video, right? There's big bulk rolls like this. The standard rolls. So this is a, let's see, for people not listening, what is that? Like an 8-inch box. It's a like 100-foot roll. And then the smaller boxes are less. I don't remember how many feet that is, because I usually buy.
How cool would it be if this were added to first aid training?
It would be so cool.
Like, we talk about ACE bandages, we talk about ice and heat. How cool would it be to, you have to know about it first, but I mean, I wouldn't recommend, like, I wouldn't go out and just start adding taping people up to my first aid training, because I personally, I would want to know a little more about it, but
right.
Would that be a direction you think the industry could head and that would help?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I have dreams of having like pre-cut strips in first aid cabinets, just like there are Band-Aids, you know, here's a knee, here's a low back, you know, they just, even those cool vending machines that, you know, manufacturing companies have that, you know, you can just get those out of, and there's a little, you know, QR code video of how to put it on.
See, I think you're going to make it happen. So.
That's awesome. And yeah, just get educated. Please ask me questions. I do have a texting community where I get a lot of these great short, quick questions like, hey, you know, this is my next bug in me. How do I tape it? And then I can just send something right along. My texting community, you just send me a text. You can text Rock Tape or your name, or I don't care what you text to me. 720-704. Now I'm going to like freak out that I'm messing it up. I think it's 4851, but
let's verify.
But hold on now. My brain is all of a sudden making me question.
You guys, it is early Monday on a Monday morning, so
it is. Oh, and I got it right.
So text Lori any questions. So send the text to 720-704-4851.
Yes.
Awesome. I wrote it down. And we will have that posted in the show notes as well. I'm also going to grab a link to your YouTube playlist all the Rock Tape videos. And so folks can go there.
Resource site in the works that's got everything categorized. It's coming soon.
Nice. So yeah, how's it going with your
It's going pretty well. I'm pretty much finished transferring everything, right? That was the big deal of getting all those videos in one place and then categorizing them in the other place. So, and I'm just going to make it a free for all for a while, because I think I would love to have more people understand how they can do.
So, this. And I'm being coy, but we say your little project, what is that, Brett? Can you at least very high level talk about what you're working on?
I'm launching a resource movement portal website to where
a little tease.
Yes. It's going to be the greatest thing that you're just going to see something come across your own aches and pains or your employees' muscle soreness and go, oh, I have a place to go for that. I'm going to not Google. I'm going to go to the Movement Ninja.
There you go. I can't wait. Not Google, not Dr. Google. So I'm convinced that it doesn't matter what symptoms you type in to just a Google search window, you're going to come up with, I'm dying. I'm literally, this is the end. Yes. And you know, it's terrible. So yeah, great resource coming. I can't wait. I hope that we are able to announce it with you, as well when it's ready. And we want to be a part of that. So for sure. All right. So for the rest of the video, I am going to ask you 5 questions to get a little deeper into knowing a little more about Lori. But for the podcast listeners, if you want to see the rest of that video, head over to the Safety Pro Podcast community. Premium members will have access to the video and see the questions that I'm going to ask and Lori's answer, so we can get to know Lori a little bit more.
All right. Thank you, Blaine.
All right. There you have it. The interview, my second interview with Lori Frederick, the Movement Ninja. Be sure to head on over to the Safety Pro Podcast community website, where we can have a deeper discussion about this and many other workplace safety and health topics. You can also get the Locals app, sign in there, and have the Safety Pro Podcast community on the go with you at all times. I look forward to seeing you on the community, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.